Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, April 3rd. I'm Ray Graff. Many of us are stuck at home. Going to the gym is usually not an issue at this point. Most of them are closed. Exercise in general, a little more problematic. But one thing we can control is what we eat. And in the studio today, or on the phone in the studio today, to answer your healthy cooking questions, two folks from the Nutrition Center in Western Massachusetts. Liz Weibrecht is the center's assistant director and the food adventures educator. Joining her is the center's clinical director and nutrition counselor, Anna Maria Moisa. If you have a question about improving your diet, how to cook some healthy meals while you are homebound, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Food Friday after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today on Food Friday, we are learning how to eat healthy while the gyms are closed and we're stuck at home. Ready to help us are Liz Weibrecht and Anna Maria Moisa of the Nutrition Center, with offices in Northampton and also services in Berkshire County. Liz is the center's assistant director and the food adventures educator. She is passionate about organic gardening and has taught Growing Healthy Kids, a preschool food nutrition program introducing whole foods to young children and emphasizing the importance of physical activity. Anna Maria is a licensed nutritionist. She counsels patients on dietary strategies for treating gastrointestinal disorders, eating disorders, obesity, heart disease, autoimmune conditions, and other chronic illnesses. She leads workshops on nutrition and gastrointestinal health, plant-based diets, and a mindful eating approach to weight management. If you have a question about dieting or healthy cooking, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Liz Weibrecht and Anna Maria Moisa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Hi,
so
Ray.
Much.
Thank you so much.
Before we start, how's the health? How's everybody doing?
In my house, everybody's great. We are hunkered down in the house, and we're doing lots of great cooking.
Oh, that's good. How about you, Anna Maria?
Same. You know, it's a time to kind of be experimenting with some new recipes, trying to make sense of, you know, how to keep the variety up with the limited ingredients that we have, and, you know, getting excited to try new things and trying to be as creative as possible.
And if it goes on for several weeks, you'll be trying new things with very limited ingredients. So we'll get to
exactly
all that in a minute. But first, for those who have never tuned in, and you both have been on the show at least a couple of times now, the Nutrition Center, tell us a little about what that does. Liz,
well,
you go
I'll
first.
Speak to that.
Yeah.
So the Nutrition Center is a nonprofit organization that, and our mission is to inspire a healthy relationship with food through counseling, nutrition, and culinary education. So we do a program called Food Adventures around Berkshire County, and that is basically making whole food recipes with a various amount of people, from kids to adults. And whole foods, typically lots of grains, fruits and vegetables, beans, things like that.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of fun doing it, and I'll have Anna Maria talk to our clinical side.
Okay.
Yeah, so I see patients for one-on-one nutrition counseling. I have offices in Northampton and Greenfield. I typically work with individuals who are either just looking to improve their overall health, or many of them will come in with specific health ailments that they're looking to address from a nutrition and lifestyle perspective.
This is a tough time for those who have those issues, in that you're homebound, right?
Yes. Yes. So I am actually seeing patients over telehealth, which has been one of the good silver linings to this whole situation, that patients are now able to do nutrition counseling right from the comfort of their home. Then it's now being covered by most major insurance companies. So that was a really huge shift that this whole that's happened over the past few weeks.
We are joined today by Liz Weibrecht and Anna Maria Moisa of the Nutrition Center in Northampton and around Berkshire County. And, you know, one of the things about the lead up to what has become a lockdown throughout the region, if you want to call it a lockdown, for those who are not doing essential services, one of the problems is that there was a tremendous rush on grocery stores and people were grabbing stuff left and right. And there are those, I would imagine, that have probably bought the wrong things.
I was so encouraged when I would go into the grocery store and a lot of the frozen vegetables were sold out in some of the bigger warehouse type stores. And I know I was looking at it through the eyes of, wow, everybody's going to be cooking now, and what a great opportunity. I don't know if there are wrong things. You know, something that that Anna Maria just spoke of, it's really getting creative and taking the time to learn technique in the kitchen, as well as understanding substitutions and just being creative and putting things together where you may not have had time before, or you really needed time to figure out technique. So yeah.
Well, go ahead, Anna Maria.
Well, I was going to say, I was quite surprised when I went to do my own grocery shopping, going down the aisle where you would buy dried beans or, dried grains. All of those were pretty much cleared out. I've never had a problem finding dried black beans before. So to me, that's a sign that people might be eating more of these really nice home-cooked meals using whole foods more than they previously were, because they're not going out to restaurants and they're not relying as much on the processed, simple, convenient foods that, you know, we've kind of grown accustomed to having on a day-to-day basis.
And one of the things that I think is very interesting from a sociological perspective is the fact that, at least in my house and in those that I've talked to in my neighborhood, the family dinner is becoming a thing again. And I think that may have good repercussions on nutrition in general.
I think it's fantastic. And, you know, I'm home with two kids, and it is a time, you know, there are times in the day where we just need to be apart in the house, which I think everybody can relate to now. But coming together for meals, it doesn't feel like it did in the past, where we're able to talk and looking forward to seeing each other instead of being in our corners in our in the house, or outside taking a walk. And it's really a time to connect, and the kids don't mind coming down in order to help prepare a little as. They're doing that better than they have in the past. Even in my house, where I do cook all the time, it's been a different shift, which I think has been fantastic.
Anna Maria.
So I definitely think that the fact that we're all sort of under the same roof and cooking is just generally happening more for parents. We have the time to really be spending in the kitchen. I think that was a really big factor for parents and families before. Now it's sort of becoming more of a necessity. People are looking at bulk cooking. They're looking to make meals, you know, more efficiently so that, you know, they have what to eat for a few days. It's sort of less, more planning and less, quick meals, deciding what we're going to throw in the microwave last minute. Because those convenient options aren't as available. And I think that that's really bringing people together to be cooking more meals and getting the kids involved, as Liz was saying.
We're joined today by Liz Weibrecht and Anna Maria Moisa of the Nutrition Center. It's a Food Friday, and we are talking today about eating healthy while you may be at home for an extended period of time. The number to call is 800-348-2551. One of the great things about you two coming is that you usually bring great food. Well, as you know, if you're listening at home, they're not here. They're calling us from their houses, so there's no food. But actually, our producer, Jackie Orchard, made your recipe for these
fabulous
granola bars. And so we'll talk about that coming up. We'll also grab some calls. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Eating healthy while on lockdown. We'll be back. Vox Pop, Food Friday, Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We learn about healthy cooking and nutrition while you are at home with Liz Weibrecht and Anna Maria Moisa. And let's take a call here, and then we'll talk about these great granola bars. Go over to Judy in Lenox, Mass. Judy, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. I have a question. I've been steadily losing weight. I've lost 65 pounds over the last 3 years.
Ooh.
And I've kind of stalled out.
Yeah.
I would like to lose 20 more, and I'm home with my three kids and my dad, and I'm trying to find fun, nutritious food that we can all eat that will help me continue to lose weight. I'm still working out. I have a trainer who we video time each other for working out, but I'm kind of stuck. I didn't know if there were any suggestions.
Liz.
So it's typical, and Anna Maria will talk to this, that when you're losing weight, there are times where your body kind of pauses and adjusts, and she'll talk with that. Recipes. So continuing to work out is a really good strategy. We can get outside, of course, observe social distancing and making sure that you're observing that. So lots of fresh fruit and vegetables. Every time I do a once a week shopping for my family in this pandemic, and making sure that you're including lots of fruits and veggies during the day, making sure that you're including your fiber. So that can be with fruits and vegetables, and making sure that they're balanced meals. So that's what I would say. And Anna Maria can speak to the pause kind of in your weight loss.
Do you think
Judy, say
maybe
it again. I'm sorry, Judy. Try it again.
I'm wondering if maybe I don't have enough variety. I do eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, but I don't know, and I'm getting bored with food. Sometimes I don't even eat that much because I'm getting tired of food. And I have a daughter with food allergies, so I have to cook a whole separate menu just for her.
Yeah, that's definitely very tricky, and I think everybody's really struggling with variety right now. Kind of going back to simple basics of sort of looking at your plate and making sure that you're getting in all of your macronutrients. So, you know, if we're thinking about protein sources, getting in both animal and plant-based protein sources. So, most of the time people are incorporating poultry or red meat, but even, seafood, which might be more available in frozen form. So it's a little bit easier to buy in larger quantities. I really love, I mentioned, I see everybody eating more beans and legumes. All of those beans and legumes in general are incredibly filling. Liz mentioned fiber, which is really good for promoting that sense of fullness. And you can make them into, start experimenting with things like homemade chickpea snacks that you bake in the oven. Things like even popcorn, which is a whole grain, getting an air popper, that sort of thing. Those are kid-friendly foods. But in terms of just like being mindful about your eating behaviors and whatever your health goals are, sort of being able to maintain a structure right now is a bit more difficult because we have to create it for ourselves. You know, we're not going to work at a specific time. We might find that we're snacking a lot in between meals, maybe out of boredom. So that's another really big thing to be mindful of is, you know, are you eating your three meals a day and are you having, you know, deliberately planned snacks or, you know, just make sure you don't kind of get into this open-ended grazing throughout the day. That can sometimes be problematic when you're trying to create a more structured balance within your nutritional intake.
Judy, thank you very much for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Liz, did you want to add something there?
I did. I think something that I've noticed that I'm missing, and I'm sure other people are, is something called terroir. You know, when we are in a place, we're out at a restaurant or we're on a picnic or something about the surrounding area is adding to whatever we are eating.
Yeah.
So it's easy, I think, when we're doing the same routine in our house to feel bored. And it's not necessarily that the foods that we're eating. So I think thinking in your mind's eye of places that you've enjoyed a particular meal to kind of match that in your mind, and then it enhances, I think, in ways your taste buds to be remembering, you know, sitting on the lawn at Tanglewood or out on a picnic at the park or, you know, in your favorite restaurant. So maybe experimenting around the house, you know, maybe on one of these nicer days, if you have a patio or a deck or even outside on the grass to spread out a blanket, to just experience food in different places in your house or around your house might be a way to combat the boredom.
Liz Weibrecht is here and Anna Maria Moisa of the Nutrition Center. One of the things I noticed in all the hysteria leading up to what has now become lockdowns or whatever you want to call them, stay at home, is that I think people got in the mindset of, okay, there's never going to be food in the store again. There's never going to be toilet paper again. And so when I go to the store and I shop for my family as carefully as I can, you know, things like pasta will sometimes be very hard to come by. Are people eating, in your mind, too much pasta while they are home?
I think that it's a possibility. It was kind of shocking to me that all the pasta was completely sold out in many stores. So I'm wondering what people are doing with all that pasta. So are they adding lots of vegetables? Are they adding, you know, what are they adding to that to make it more of a complete meal without, you know, just the grain there? It's do people eat too much pasta? I think I'll have Anna Maria speak to that.
I think that people are probably buying a lot of these dried goods. I mean, I know, you know, my patients are stocking up on things like root vegetables, potatoes as well, you know, so the pasta, potatoes, rice. These are starches that are a normal part of the diet. As Liz was saying, whether or not they're becoming the only part of the diet, that would certainly be a concern. But I think that they're good staples to have around the house if you're incorporating them in a balanced meal. I do think that the big issue is going to be, you know, how we're going to get over this hurdle of making sure that we all have enough fresh produce or frozen produce available to us so that imbalance doesn't happen. I think that it's more about making sure that the other components of the meal also end up on the plate as well.
The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Shana is in Amherst. Shana, you're on.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
This is Shana and Anna Maria. Hi. I went on
Hello.
To listen, and I'm so happy to hear you. I'm an old friend of Anna Maria's.
Ah.
So during this time, I've been concerned about my 3.5-year-old that we've worked really hard at getting him to eat fruits, which sounds funny because fruits are sweet anyways, but if it were up to him, he would probably just like to eat like mac and cheese
yeah.
and bread and bland things like that. So we've been working really hard to get him to eat oranges and apples and grapes, and he likes all of that now. And I'm just thinking, I'm going to run out of those things. I'm looking in what I have in my cabinet, and I'd kind of rather not go back to the grocery store for a while just to stay safe. How can I get him to start trying some new things? Like, is there a fun way of getting him to eat quinoa or rice? Or he's never really had these whole grains. He maybe has had them in, like, flour form, like if I put it in a muffin or something. But do you typically have, like, suggestions to get kids to eat new things? What would you do?
So I have a lot of experience with this, and I would say that there's a lot of times that you need to introduce different foods. So typically 3-year-olds will pull things apart, and then eating's a little bit messy. So I think preparing yourself for having that be messy. And it's important to introduce something many, many times. So even if they try it and there was kind of a face that you would, a scowl maybe after trying something, you know, that's very new to it's very new to taste buds. And we could have a very interesting visual response, but it's not necessarily going to stop them from eating it. So I would say to keep introducing things and having things be family style. I would say to not ask how they like it. More observe how much they're eating it, and being aware of what things they're taking and what things, you know, how things you're presenting are attractive to them, and then kind of capitalizing on that and repeating different things and getting creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, Liz. And I think, go ahead, Shana.
Shana goes first.
Is there a risk of, like, if I run out of the fresh fruits that he's used to and stuff, is there a risk that if he stops eating those for a while, then, he'll kind of lose his taste for them in the future? He'll be like, oh, yeah, I don't like apples, even though right now he does. Like, is it more worth it for me to go to the grocery store again and make sure I don't run out of those things?
I think it's actually a good thing to be cycling things as much as possible. And I will also say that kids, you might find that you're feeding him apples for a few months and he's loving them. And all of a sudden, one day he just decides he doesn't, he's not into it anymore and would prefer something else. So I think it's, it's pretty arbitrary sometimes, when kids decide that they don't like something anymore, whether or not you'll have to maybe, I think most likely he'll end up being more excited if you continue to cycle things as opposed to, getting him to like only a certain few fruits and then sticking to those. I think this could actually present you with some opportunities to be maybe more experimental with him and really take the time to increase exposure to new foods. And what Liz was saying, about kind of being mindful of your reaction, parents are often really excited when a kid likes a new food. And so, we'll smile and say, how great of a job they're doing. And they will see that sort of happiness and excitement on the parent's face. But with time, what that can actually do, if the parent isn't able to kind of remain neutral in the process, it becomes more about the child looking to the parent for specific reactions, whether it's a reaction of excitement or disappointment or frustration. So I really second what Liz was saying about trying to be as neutral as possible, be observing. And, there's a lot of studies that will show that repeated exposure to new foods is really important, and that informs our taste buds, in those first formative years of life.
Shana, thanks for the call. Well, Anna Maria, it's easier said than done for a parent to remain neutral. If I get my little kids to eat peas, it's a pretty darn good day. And so we're pretty excited about that, mom and I. But, isn't there something to be said for the positive operant conditioning to The parent is happy when the kid likes something?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead, Liz.
Yeah, it is. You can be happy, but it's not dependent upon, you know, they have different taste buds than ours. So being happy about it and in general is great. But again, that kind of neutrality is better for the long haul, because then the kid is able, the child is able to develop their taste buds, you know, as the studies and as naturally occurs.
Yeah.
And it's, yes, we are happy as parents when kids are eating, when it's been a good day. I know exactly what that feels like.
Right.
But it's also important on the days that are not so good to temper our disappointment. So remaining that in that neutral place is a good place to practice.
So don't put them in a timeout then, is what you're saying.
Well, maybe for other things.
All right, fair enough. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. Liz Weibrecht and Anna Maria Moisa are here from the Nutrition Center, keeping you healthy while the gyms are closed and you are at home. Let's go to Marianne in New Windsor. Marianne.
Hi. I was calling about the risks that I feel in buying fresh vegetables in the grocery store. For instance, broccoli as a staple in my diet. Fresh broccoli, I no longer buy because I'm fearful of bacteria. Is there a way to spray, wash, or whatever a broccoli crown to be sure that you're not, you shouldn't be concerned about the bacteria on it given the COVID virus?
Well, the COVID's a virus and not a bacteria, but go ahead. Who wants to take this?
Okay, thank you for that.
Who wants
that? Are you talking about eating it raw? Are you eating the broccoli raw?
No. I cook it often. I cook it like 5 times a week, and it's part of my dinner. So now I've bought frozen, and it just doesn't taste as good, and I'm not convinced that the nutrients are the same. So that's another question, really. Are they?
Well, let me start off by saying that the frozen produce is actually just as nutritious, if not sometimes might be more nutrient dense, because it is flash frozen right when it is, you know, within you know, a day or two of being picked, as opposed to being sort of shipped from farm to wherever the grocery store is. Because as we know, most of our farms are not, you know, they're not local. If you are going to a local farm, that's the best place to be getting the freshest produce. But frozen vegetables have been compared to fresh produce, and they're right on the same level. So I wouldn't worry about that. And in fact, I think it would probably be a good thing to rely a little bit more on those, as availability of fresh produce might be decreasing. I personally don't have a whole lot of knowledge on, you know, COVID in terms of food safety at this point, because I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of solid information out there right now in terms of, you know, how this virus reacts on certain food surfaces. So I wish I had better information.
Sure, that
for
makes
you.
Sense.
You know, I'll tell you what, yeah. Marianne, on Monday, on Medical Monday, we're going to welcome Dr. Eric Yeager again, who is an expert on viruses from Albany Pharmacy College. And the information about the way this virus acts and how long it stays on surfaces is very much a work in progress. There are researchers all over the world looking into these questions. He'll have the most recent answer, so maybe give us a call on Monday, and he might be able to answer that question for you.
All right, fantastic. Thank you for the information.
Have a great weekend, and the number here is 800-348-2551. And this email came in from Sue. Can you tell me if an open package of miso paste white can be left unrefrigerated for a period of time?
So I can pass along the information that I have heard directly from the producers of South River Miso, which is a miso company here locally in Western Massachusetts. From what I understand, that miso is very shelf stable. And I don't know if there was a specific period of time that the person is asking for, but
doesn't really say.
But I think it lasts for a very long time. I mean, I certainly know that I've had some miso that is at least a couple years old, and I feel pretty darn safe using it.
And that's fermented? Is miso fermented?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Fermented, it's high salt also. So generally speaking, you know, it should be safe.
All right, let's take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. Anna Maria Moisa and Liz Weibrecht of the Nutrition Center are here on a Food Friday. We'll keep you healthy while the gyms are closed, while you are at home. We'll be right back. Vox Pop Food Friday, Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We're joined today via the telephone by, by some stroke of luck. We got a couple of guests who said, yeah, we'll stick on the phone for an hour, and thank you. I don't know if we'll pay your bills, but we appreciate it all the same. Next time, you'll be here. Liz Weibrecht, Anna Maria Moisa here from the Nutrition Center, and we got an email about the broccoli issue and washing the broccoli. This is from Catherine. And Catherine writes, for the broccoli, soak in salt water, and that'll kill bacteria and viruses and green broccoli worms. Then drain and cook the broccoli as usual. Sound good to you, Liz?
That sounds good to me. I am interested in listening to the show on Monday and knowing what the doctor says, but I have not heard, and we've heard that soap is... that the virus doesn't react well to soap. So I think that regular food safety protocols are in place, and it makes our food safe. So I think fresh food preparation, certainly nutrient dense and good for our bodies, should continue to happen.
Okay, the number here is 800-348-2551. And yeah, Eric is a great guest, and he's been on at least two or three times since the whole thing really started to happen around here with the coronavirus. And so, I recommend you check that out. Now, we got another email here. Here's a problem for me. I'm checking the emails today. We're on a skeleton crew, I should tell you. Jackie Orchard, our producer, she's manning the phones today. She's not all that pleased about it, but I'm manning the emails. And so here's the problem. Two of my daughters are texting me as I'm trying to read the emails, and they don't know that Dad's on the air, and it's very annoying. We got this email from William. I've been an organic gardener for over 40 years. I've been eating out of my garden and unheated greenhouse for the past winter. I'm eating fresh greens and roots now and still have onions and dried tomatoes and peppers and beans in my pantry. Suddenly, there are a lot of people who recognize the importance of being more food secure and looking to begin gardens. That surge has produced huge strains for seed companies. Many have ceased or limited shipping because their primary concern is to keep the labor force safe and healthy. There is no shortage of seeds in most cases for home gardeners, just a logistical bottleneck. So our writer has asked me to encourage listeners that in the meantime, there's plenty of work to be done while waiting for seeds to become available. The more prepared you are with your soil, the more likely the garden will be a success. And that is from Bill. That makes good sense.
Makes very good sense.
It does. And, you know, it's funny. I think people are just really getting even more creative with how they can be growing their own food. And I've been seeing articles circulating online how to use vegetable scraps to basically grow food. So, you know, instead of throwing away the bottom of your celery stalk, letting that sort of start to sprout. And these are things that you can do right inside the house right now. You don't even have to wait for the weather to get nice. Onions. There's a whole lot of different vegetables that you can sort of regrow from food scraps.
This email came.
And I really like when people are growing their own foods too, because there's less food waste. I worry and have seen some things online about with all of the massive buying that went on. with people being worried, you know, there's a lot of food waste with that. So being cognizant of what you use, and especially if you grow it, then it helps. And having, you know, if you have excess, you know, putting it out at the end of your driveway to share with your neighbors is always a good thing.
All right, we'll jump back on the phones here in a moment. 800-348-2551. One more email. This is from Kathy. Subject's heading, kids being picky eaters. Aye, my two cents on dinner with kids. If they don't eat at least small portions of good, healthy food, do not let them have dessert. If they don't want to eat some things, fine, but they can't hate everything. And they won't starve to death if offered food on a regular basis. That sounds like a woman who is well-grounded in reality. Good job, Kathy.
It's very true. In my house, the nights that we do have dessert after dinner, which is not all the time, it's a special occasion, but the cost of dessert is eating dinner.
Ah, that's good. I mean, that's old school right there, so that's very good. I just want to just talk about this recipe you have, and then we will get back to the phones. This
sure.
Granola bar that Jackie, the producer, made, it is outstanding, and I've been nibbling on this now for about an hour, and it's really satisfying. So just walk us through that recipe.
Great. I'll be happy to. And I was so happy that Jackie inquired about making something. So these are no-bake granola bars. They include some rolled oats, some peanut butter, or sun butter if you have a nut allergy. Again, there's substitutions for this. Some dried tart cherries, slivered almonds, chia seeds, walnuts, sunflower seeds, honey, and applesauce. And these are, you do heat up the peanut butter and honey and mix that together, and then mix with all the ingredients, all the other dry ingredients with the applesauce, and press it into a pan with parchment. And these are great to have in the refrigerator to make ahead of time. They freeze well to be able to put into a bag and then have them available. But this is a very, very tasty recipe, I would agree.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. And let's jump back on the phones and let's go to Dr. Robert. Hello.
Hi, Ray. How's it going?
Good. Nice to have you here. You're on.
Hi.
Hello. Hello, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Absolutely. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
All right.
I was just finishing up at the office, and just like I do on every Friday, I was listening into your show, and I heard some questions about viruses and produce.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be a good time to let people know that, you know, we should treat produce the same that we do usually, in that if we buy it from the store and we're going to eat it raw, it should always be washed with soap and water. And if you're going to cook vegetables such as broccoli, like one of your callers suggested, it should be cooked for at least 10 minutes with boiling water, and that will kill any virus that's on any surface.
Oh, that's good to know.
So I wanted to reassure people that eating fresh fruits and produce is not contraindicated during these days of COVID.
That's really great advice. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Of course.
Of course. The only
thing.
Go ahead.
I appreciate the insights of your nutritionist. I think as a gastroenterologist, it's very important for people to have insights into dietary strategies, particularly for their children these days. Because we all know how hard that is.
So we can use soap on veggies and not rinse?
Well, soap and water, just like we wash our hands, can be used for vegetables as long as they're rinsed. Because clearly you wouldn't want to be eating soap.
No.
But I suggest any vegetable that is eaten, it should be boiled.
Okay.
A rolling boil for at least 10 or 12 minutes.
Here's the thing.
And that will take care of any infection.
Here's the thing, Doc, and I'm going to throw this to Liz. You boil broccoli for 10 minutes, that's not going to be the best broccoli, right?
Yeah, it might get a little soggy there. So I wonder, what we do understand about this virus as well is that the soap That it doesn't react well to soap. So I think that washing, as the doctor had suggested, with soap and water, you know, perhaps you can have, you know, some water in a spray bottle with some soap in it so you can get it in there, rinse it well, and steaming for a little while, I think would be great. But from what I understand, the soap is, the virus does not react well to soap.
Well, doctor, thank you so much for calling, and we really appreciate you checking in and listening. The number here is 800-348-2551. Ana Maria Moisa and Liz Weibrecht of the Nutrition Center join us via telephone today. And Bruce in Kingston, you've been waiting a long time, sir. You're on.
Is this for Bruce?
Yep, you're on.
Oh, great. Okay. First, I want to compliment this informative program, your guests, and especially you, Ray, for doing a whole series of very informative programs around the coronavirus.
Well, thank you.
I'm 91, and I'm not on any medication, and I've been doing my own shopping and cooking for quite a few years now. And I have a number of suggestions and questions. On the fresh produce, including broccoli, which I love, and maybe steaming is enough. What about sautéing? When I would sauté it with other vegetables and rice or quinoa, would that take care of eliminating any bacteria?
I would imagine, you know, based on our last call, I think any kind of, you know, exposure to heat, as long as you're kind of cooking on like a medium heat, I would imagine that those 10 minutes would apply to that as well.
All right, that would be great.
The same?
The suggestions I have are, and partially question suggestion, is I've increased my intake of fermented foods quite a bit now over the last few weeks, with the understanding that the fermentation strengthens the immune system. And I'm wondering, you know, in other words, and I'm not just talking about some miso, which I add. I'm talking about maybe using sauerkraut more and kimchi. Which I can mix in with my salads, and you know, I often add, well, it's not fermented, but blueberries and so on. So does anybody know whether the fermentation, because this is what I believe that it does strengthen the immune system?
Yes. Yeah, there's no doubt that fermented foods have now been linked with increased ability to fight inflammation. The reason is because these fermented foods are very high in probiotic bacteria that help modulate the immune system. So what that means is that it basically, these bacteria, once we're introducing them into our GI tract, they're having a really beneficial effect on overall immunity throughout the body. And so that can actually help our immune system fight pathogens like bacteria and viruses. So supporting gut health is incredibly important during this time. The one thing I will say about the foods that you mentioned something like sauerkraut and kimchi. Those are fermented foods. But many companies that will sell you sauerkraut, let's say, in a can or in a jar, unless it is a raw, unpasteurized food, all of those really good probiotic bacteria will be killed during the pasteurization process. So you really want to make sure that if you're eating fermented vegetables, especially, that you're getting them from companies that are not pasteurizing their products, so that the active bacteria are still in that final fermented vegetable. Yogurt is another food that is high in probiotics. That is actually a fermented dairy product. So Those are all really good sources of these beneficial probiotic bacteria that help with immunity.
Bruce, thank you very much for the call. The other thing about eating sauerkraut is if you eat enough of it, social distancing isn't a problem at all, right? Let's go to Ted in Shelburne, Vermont. Ted, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thanks very much. This is about the time of year, and I live in Shelburne, but I've got a south-facing wall. Like dandelion greens are my spring tonic, kind of have been for decades. And this time of year, when I was in a grocery store yesterday with my gloves on and stuff, it's a little spooky.
Yeah, it is, man.
But dandelion greens, you know, check with your grandmother or great grandmother or something, and wild things. And I'm looking at a Peterson Field Guide for edible wild plants. I'm looking at Stalking the Healthful Herbs by Ewell Gibbons and Stalking the Wild Asparagus by Ewell Gibbons. So there's information, and I just believe, and your nutritionist can maybe pitch in on just the good vitamins and things that are with. I cut the dandelion below the ground and I clean up the roots a little bit, so you get a little bit of root and the crown and the green leaves, and then I boil them with just a little bit of water. I quit this as soon as they start growing any stem or something. I just want that little sort of compressed bud at the base of the dandelion greens. Anyhow, things like that, and there are some various other weeds, and I know our time is going on here, but I'd love a little commentary on that and get people out there to get those vegetables just that way out of the field around their house or something.
Let's go to Anna Maria on this one.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I love this question. Dandelion greens are my number one favorite green. The entire plant is edible, even the flower, the roots. What I will say, just to sort of dovetail on our last conversation before I talk a little bit more on about other wild edibles, dandelion greens specifically are really high in prebiotics, which are a type of food that feed your probiotic bacteria. So if you're introducing, you know, fermented foods, or you're looking in general just to feed these good gut bacteria in your GI tract, getting in prebiotics that feed the gut bacteria and help them to grow and flourish is very important. I would actually argue that that's even more important than getting in the fermented foods themselves, because having these prebiotic foods can really increase the rate of probiotic bacteria that can take up residence in the gut, much more so than even just taking in the fermented foods alone. So keeping in mind that, you know, in addition to all of the minerals and vitamins that you're getting in from dandelion, you also have this really nice prebiotic effect from that particular wild edible. And there's tons of others, you know, stinging nettle, if you carefully collect it with gloves, can be cooked like a spinach.
And when you can mow it down and you get a fresh.
Okay, Ted, you go, and then Liz, you go, and then we'll all go because the show will be over. So, Ted, go
thanks
ahead.
Thanks so much, Ray. I was going to say the nettles, I hesitate even to mention them, but I let them get them early. I cut them with scissors and just into a pan or something, and then get them in boiling water, and there's no problem. And they're highly nutritious. And then when they get big or buggy or something, mow them down, you get another batch.
Yeah.
And I figure the dandelion greens, or, you know, the dandelions, I quit harvesting when they start growing up a little bit of stem. I think they get more bitter, or there's on to other things. Mm. There's lamb's quarters. It's a whole great thing. I'm so glad I got in today. Thank you.
I'm glad you were on. Liz, you got about 15 seconds here. Go ahead.
Yep. So we were talking about pasta earlier. One of my favorite recipes is spring green pasta salad, and dandelion greens are my favorite green to put in this. So, you know, make some pasta, get some radishes. You can grate up some radishes, grate some carrots, put a little bit of Parmesan cheese in there, and then I would thinly cut the dandelion leaves and put that in there, and make a dressing of some lemon juice, maybe zest some of that lemon too, some olive oil, black pepper, and salt.
Yeah.
Mix all that together, and it's a great spring green pasta salad, and you're getting all those prebiotics that Anna Maria had spoken about.
Well, Liz and Anna Maria, I love you both for being here. Next time we'll see you in the studio. We'll eat some food together, and thank you for being here. Support comes from Cafe Capriccio, now offering to-go curbside delivery. CafeCapriccio.com/order online for orders. Pike Global Foods, bulk ingredients for makers of chocolates, pastries, confections, and baked goods, wholesale and online direct at pikeglobalfoods.com. And Honest Weight Food Co-op, 100 Watervliet Avenue, Albany, New York, now offering limited grocery basics and prepared food online with delivery at honestweight.com. Open to all at 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. Thanks again to Liz Weibrecht and Anna Maria Moisa of the Nutrition Center in Western Massachusetts for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach, our engineer, Jackie Orchard, our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Dr. Eric Yeager will be here to talk coronavirus on Monday at 2. Have a safe weekend. Relax, hang out. We'll see you then.